Hi everyone, and welcome back to Dissecting Dexter, a podcast dedicated to the TV series Dexter. I'm your host, Gareth Watkins, coming to you from the heart of Yorkshire, England. I'd love to say I'm in the mobile studio again. Remember those days? It seems like yesterday we'd get interrupted by birds singing and aeroplanes flying over. Good times. But mobile studio or not, the important thing is that we are here together again and back on the Season 3 rewatch train. It moves like the English East Coast mainline after a quarter inch of snow, but at least it moves. As I record, it's the 14th of December, 2023. I'm wearing a Star Wars jumper, the house is decorated, and we're just about ready for Christmas. A fairly quiet one in store for us this year here. Christmas Day, just us at home, which honestly is how we usually like it. Well, it's nice to see loved ones there. There is a lot to be said for getting up on Christmas Day and not having to think about rushing about to get dressed and be all presentable for visitors and having dinner ready for a certain time. We've got family coming Boxing Day though, so we get the best of both worlds. Not much news in the Dexter world. There was talk of potential spin-offs. There were press releases. Spin-offs and prequel series in the Dexterverse. We did a podcast about it, but that's all gone quiet. Although the disputes in Hollywood this year obviously meant that development, writing and filming all got put on hold. It's great that agreeable deals have been done and things are moving again, so hopefully we'll hear something in the new year. In the meantime, we still have plenty of Dexter to talk about here. This is a rewatch podcast and we're deep into Season 3. As always, for those of you listening to these podcasts as you watch Dexter for the first time, you can listen safely. This is a recap and review for Season 3, Episode 8. We will only talk about events up to and including this one, so we won't spoil anything that comes after. This is a spoiler-free zone, so listen with confidence. Okay, let's crack on, shall we? We are talking about Season 3, Episode 8, The Damage a Man Can Do. Original air date, the 16th of November, 2008. A week after my first son's second birthday. Anyway, the episode is written by future showrunner Scott Buck, and it's directed by Marco Siega. So the bromance is back on. Dexter and Miguel enjoying a guy's night of beer, pizza and sport. Although attention quickly turns to research, Dexter flinches when Miguel jumps onto his laptop. Boundaries. Probably quite a lot on there Dexter wouldn't want him to see, like his browsing history. Miguel's been doing his own Dexter-style homework and identified a potential victim. A failed footballer called Billy Fleeter, now working as an enforcer. Sounds like he's killed and seems to fit the code. Miguel is frustrated that Fleeter has slipped the legal net. He wants to be the one to kill him. Maybe this episode could have been called Popping Cherry 2. Miguel says he's let Dexter do the heavy lifting so far. Now he's ready to take the lead and get his hands dirty. He makes it sound so normal, phrasing it like that. He's talking about murdering someone and as casually, like he was offering to be designated driver for their next night out. That's quite chilling when you think about it. You can look at Miguel so far as a strong-willed character with a devotion to justice, but apparently not necessarily justice the legal way, since he's been inspired by what Dexter does. He was certainly a bit, perhaps, naive to begin with, if that's the right word, and maybe he still is. Certainly very green with these sorts of things. The reality of killing another human being, I'm led to believe, is far worse and takes a far greater toll on someone than we can possibly imagine. Unless you're a psychopath, of course. With a brief flash of Harry, we know that deep down Dexter knows this is a very bad idea. Next morning, it's domestic normality. Dexter making breakfast for the kids. He does have a nice rapport with them, doesn't he? That's good to see. He can relax around them more than he can adults. Rita's grumpy, though, and Dexter muses about her pregnancy hormones. I felt a bit bad for her. Dexter appreciates why she's grumpy, but I felt this is a bit of a cliche. Pregnant woman, hormones, must be moody. That said, this is Dexter's first rodeo, and we're seeing it from his point of view. However, she does have fair reason to be stressed, as she says she's also starting a new job and planning a wedding. Sounds like Dexter needs to pull his weight with the planning work and help out more. Although it amused me to hear that he listens to marching music in his car. Who knew?
Dissecting Dexter.
I kind of have a thing about blood.
Last we saw Deb and Anton, they were playing tonsil tennis. Deb crossing a professional line, getting involved with a confidential informant. Here we see the morning after, and she's wandering around his place in her underwear. The conversation lights, but when she finds a very generous bag of weed hidden in a food box, she leaves quickly without mentioning it. I guess she's willing to overlook it, but it does add to whatever disquiet she must be feeling about being involved with him at all. A theme of this episode is the butterfly effect and how one thing can have a knock-on effect to cause a whole sequence of other, on the surface, unrelated events. Dexter considers how killing Freebo has brought us to where Miami Metro is now full of tree trimmers being questioned in relation to the Skinner. He wonders what knock-on effects killing Billy Fleeter would have. He's obviously undecided about enabling Miguel to kill, whether it could take their friendship to the next level or be the end of all things. This is the theme of the season for Dexter. Can he have a friend that he can be completely himself with, be completely open about who he is and not run to the nearest police station, rather understand and accept him? We've acknowledged this before, haven't we? Deb speaks with the tree trimmer. He's someone we've seen before in the season, episode 3. He was one of the trimmers who reported finding the body of that pimp. Tegan's pimp, wasn't it? Let me look at the name. Javier Garza? I think that's right. Batista comes into the office, sharing a kiss with Barbara. As Quinn pokes gentle fun, Batista confirms they've gone next level. And there's a spring in his step. I'm pleased for him. That night, Dexter and Miguel go to a casino where they know Fleeter likes to gamble. Miguel isn't a seasoned predator and has to learn the patience of a hunter. It's interesting as Dexter tries to coach him in observing the target, watching and learning about them. It's always interesting watching Dexter go through his process. Dexter refers to the code for the first time in front of Miguel. First rule, don't get caught. Miguel queries this. Dexter tells him about how he's learned from other people's mistakes through his work. Not to mention his dad was a cop and he learned stuff from him. Harry appears to Dexter at this point.
Am I forgetting something, Dexter? Was there one final lesson where I said go now, far and wide, and preach the code, my son? I don't think so.
His sarcasm is not lost on us. Again, Dexter knows deep down that this is not, really, probably not, a good path to follow. But his need to not be alone is so great. You can understand where this desire comes from. It's quite normal. I hate that word, normal. What's normal? You know what I mean. But you can't help but feel it compromises the first rule of the code. Don't get caught. Next day, Deb's still worried about the weed she found at Anton's and she's doing some digging about what Quinn originally busted him for. Quinn can't remember but suggests she looks in the CI records. Deb asks Anton for his CI number, but he doesn't have one and it turns out Quinn always pays him in cash, which seems to go against the proper process for CIs. Now she's thinking that this is weird. However, for me, Quinn told her to check the records. If he was deliberately up to something dodgy, would he have done that? Later, Quinn and Deb are speaking again to George King, the tree trimmer who was in earlier. He's brought in his employee records. It's worth pausing here to mention the actor playing King. He's called Jesse Borrego, who got his break in the original Fame series back in the 1980s. Can anyone remember that? He played Jesse Velasquez for 3 years. I don't know how many listening to this are old enough to remember. I remember the show being on when I was a kid, but I'm buggered if I can remember any of the character names. Let me see. Bruno? Was that the guy who played the piano? Yeah, I am starting to remember. Leroy? Was there a girl called Doris? Starting to come back to me. Yeah, I'm showing my age. Borrego's been a busy guy over the years, starring in many different films like Con Air and Lone Star, and TV shows including 24, Fear the Walking Dead, ER, and From Dusk Till Dawn. He starred in a forgettable 2013 film called Line of Duty with fellow Dexter alum Sean Patrick Flannery, who will later show up as Jacob Elway in Season 8. Anyway, King is going through his employee list and they get to Mario Astorga. King reports that the guy has anger issues and had reportedly killed someone with a knife in Nicaragua. Now they have their Skinner suspect. King tells them where they'll be working the next day, so Deb and Quinn might be able to lie in wait for him.
Who are you? Are you Dexter Morgan or are you fucking Goldilocks?
You're listening to Dissecting Dexter. It's a lot cleaner than Deborah Morgan's vocabulary.
Dexter's continuing to research Billy Fleeter and mulling over whether to work with Miguel. Rita interrupts his train of thought with a phone call. He's got the job of getting the wedding rings, but he's clearly not done anything about it yet. Rita's stressing and hangs up on him. Now, I feel like I need to address this because I feel that Rita got a little bit of a bad rap this season. She's not done anything wrong. She's pregnant, understandably hormonal, planning a wedding, new job. She's got a lot on her plate, and her fiancé isn't doing as much as he could to support her. You can understand her point of view, but I remember when this was on the first time, there were other shows with partners of main male protagonists who received a lot of hate from a portion of the fan base. Unfairly, I think, but they were seen as obstacles to our male leads from doing what we want to see them doing. In Breaking Bad, there was Skyler. In Mad Men, there was Betty Draper. In fact, I think the notion was given a name by Alan Sepinwall, I think, on his podcast back then. He called it the Betty Draper effect, or the Betty Draper syndrome, something like that. The Dexter, I think it's portrayed with a little bit of a nod and a wink as we see it through the eyes of Dexter himself and his bemusement since he's so focused on other things, as he does. But overall, I think it leaves Rita as a character getting sold a little short this season. Still, this is a show called Dexter, not Dexter and Rita or At Home with the Morgans. Anyway, I just wanted to put that out there as this is more obvious to me on the rewatch. Back to Deb and Quinn, and she challenges him about Anton not being on the official CI list, and Quinn admits he's not. It was all kept off the books for convenience, but it means that Anton was taking those risks as bait, but was under no legal obligation to do so. It also means Quinn can keep stringing him along forever. Deb's visibly upset about it, and Quinn realises she's sleeping with him. Honestly, Deb's not that hard to read, is she? She was never going to hide it. If she's ever up for a game of high-stakes poker, count me in. The confrontation with Quinn gets a little more heated, and Deb blurts out what Yuki Yamada told her about Quinn cutting corners and resulting in another cop getting killed. This gives Quinn a jolt, and he's really pissed off. Cut to Dexter and Miguel. Despite his misgivings, Dexter's obviously decided to go along with this and continue to scout Billy Fleeter. They go to investigate his house, although Dexter gives Miguel another opportunity to back out. He's not having it, though. Dexter picks the lock, and Miguel is impressed with Dexter's skills, and they break into Fleeter's house. Continuing to explain the code, Dexter says they need to find proof of Fleeter's guilt. They find a baseball bat with blood Dexter needs to test and identify it, but Miguel is really enthused, pointing out the shortcomings of doing things legally. I mentioned Breaking Bad a minute ago. This is Miguel right now, Breaking Bad. He's on board, all in. Dexter points out that they need to be sure that Fleeter will kill again, another tick box for the code. Miguel points out that Fleeter does jobs for the bookie in order to pay off his own gambling debts, so will continue to hurt people as long as he owes money. They discuss, and in a bit of a convenient leap in logic, they decide he will probably keep records of his debts, so they start searching the place for a ledger of some sort. And Dexter, conveniently, quickly finds something.
Leave it, Dex. Just put it back. You can stop this right now. Call it off.
Why should I call it off?
I didn't teach you the code to share with your buddies. I taught you the code to keep you alive. You don't get to have friends, Dexter. Nothing good can come out of this.
Hey, Dex, you know what? I don't think we're gonna find anything here, man. Look at you.
It's my life, Dad.
30 grand in the hole? I think we know he's gonna pay that off.
So Dexter finds the notebook with Fleeter's debts recorded. But Harry gives Dexter the option to say nothing to Miguel. It would give him an easy out, saying he doesn't fit the code. However, Dexter reveals it, much to Miguel's delight. 30,000 in debt. Fleeter isn't paying that off anytime soon, so will likely continue to be the bookie's enforcer, busting heads in order to pay off his debts. Dexter agrees to move forward, but only if he has a good result with the blood tests and can identify victims. Miguel is excited, and Dex is just marching on with something deep down. Something deep down he knows could end very badly. Elsewhere, Deb wastes no time in visiting Anton and tells him he's off the hook as a CI. He's no idiot and wants to know more. Deb doesn't drop Quinn in it, but she blames a clerical error, so no charges were ever filed for Anton. She puts a positive spin on it for him. I still don't find their scenes very, very absorbing. We always have A and B storylines, sometimes more than that, and that's normal for a TV show. And this connects to the B story of the Skinner case, but I have to say, I find the Miguel storyline far more interesting, infinitely more interesting. Speaking of which, Dex and Miguel are out shopping for items needed for killing Fleeter. It made me smile watching them going around the store there, pushing a trolley. Dex coaches Miguel in pros and cons of different methods before saying he'll put together a starter kit for him. It's quite surreal, really. And as someone who roots for Dexter, I can't help but think, no, Dex, this won't work out like you want it to. We jump to later, and Dexter's changed into his familiar brown kill shirt. They're setting up the kill room. Judging by the slot machines in there, I assume this is part of the casino complex where they scouted Fleeter before. In voiceover, Dexter indicates he's taking a chance on Miguel and how he handles this. Maybe he's quietly hoping that Miguel can't do the deed and this can be the end of it. He tries to paint a gory picture and prepare him for the moment, for the amount of blood. But Miguel thinks he's up to the task, saying how long he's battled the legal system in vain. He's ready for this, or he feels he is. We join LaGuerta and Ellen Wolf in a quiet bar. I've not mentioned them yet this episode, but their earlier interaction was very brief. LaGuerta had a police thing to attend, and after Batista turned her down, she asked Ellen to accompany her. Although I still feel like this is being portrayed as the beginning of a beautiful friendship, to coin a phrase, I can't help but feel we're meant to get hints that LaGuerta might be attracted to Ellen, and possibly vice versa. However, I like that they've not been on the nose with this and left it open to interpretation. That said, Ellen takes a shine to the barman here. We rejoin Dex and Miguel, who are in the casino. Miguel is trying to be incognito, and I love Dexter's comment that he looks like the Unabomber. Great line. We see that they're sitting next to none other than Billy Fleeter, obviously now making their play to get close to him. Fleeter's uptight, watching the basketball on TV, and after the game, he leaves, and Dex and Miguel follow. However, as they go, a random man gives Miguel a greeting in Spanish. Dexter stops, concerned that Miguel's been recognised. Miguel is a public figure, so he says, well, it happens sometimes. Dexter calls it off, but Miguel asks to defer a decision until the next day.
Want to end up on my table? Email dissectingdexter@gmail.com.
Next day, Dex sees in the newspaper that a man's been bludgeoned to death with a baseball bat. That's Fleeter's MO, of course. And he remembers what Fleeter had mentioned the night before and knows it was their man who was killed again. Deb calls and Dexter says he's on wedding ring duty, so they arrange to meet at a jeweller's. When they're there, Deb's advising and says the wedding ring has to match the engagement ring, but Dexter reveals that he's not bought one. Deb can't believe it and calls him a Y chromosome cliche, which was pretty funny. Poor Dex, he just bumbles his way through real life, doesn't he? Deb tells him to go and buy Rita a big one. She goes on to paint a supposedly hypothetical situation, but actually describing her and Anton. She thinks that Anton's bailed on her now, that they don't have to work together, since the CI thing is no longer an official thing, if it was ever official to begin with. But she, of course, gets a typically Dexterish response, and she gets mad. She continues to try and unsuccessfully call Anton, though, and she's very concerned. Quinn meets her to go and stake out the Skinner suspect, Mario Astorga. Quinn calls her out on what she said before. He tells her what really happened, and that Yuki Yamada used to be his partner in narcotics, where there was another detective who wrongly shot an unarmed dealer. This detective ended up killing himself over the guilt. However, Quinn knew the guy was also a drug addict and hadn't got him help. Deb affirms that Quinn was to blame for the death since he could have got him help. As they talk, the tree trimmer truck, that's some alliteration right there, isn't it? Tree trimmer truck. It pulls in and they challenge the guy Mario, who promptly legs it, but they quickly catch him. Back at Miami Metro, Batista has a pile of work to get through and makes a call to Barbara to say he won't be able to make it for their date. Deb and Quinn pull a face that she's not going to like it, and that she's at this point now starting to judge him for his suitability for a relationship. Batista's unsettled by this and he leaves Barbara a very awkward voicemail. Very awkward and grovelly, bless him. The episode steps up a gear at this point and cranks up the tension. Are you ready? Dexter meets Miguel where he calls off the Fleeter job. First rule, don't get caught, and he can't risk this blowing back because Miguel got recognised in the casino. Miguel probes and works out that Freebo wasn't Dexter's first kill, and he tries to convince Dexter to proceed, but Dex says, you're not ready. Miguel comes back at him.
Oh, so you that's not ready, huh? Because we could have dealt with this Fleeter problem like 3 times already, and you keep throwing up all of these roadblocks with all this code bullshit.
It's not bullshit.
Oh, come on, keep telling yourself that, Dex. Come on, it's like wearing a fucking straitjacket, man.
No, Miguel, it's just the opposite. If I didn't have the code, the darkness.
I could stand here and tell you another story about my abusive father. But what I haven't told you about is that time that I kicked the shit out of him and knocked him down a flight of stairs, and I really enjoyed it. That was the first time in my life that I ever felt powerful, like I was in control of something. And ever since then, I've been trying to get that feeling back again. So when you talk to me about the darkness inside of you, I understand. I really do. I just want to let some of mine out too.
Longer clip there, I know, but a great moment for Jimmy Smits and a long-awaited insight into Miguel's psyche. We knew his childhood was tough, but I can't recall him describing his father as abusive, per se. But it's the feeling Miguel got when he stood over his father, that sense of power and control. It goes some way to explain why he practiced law. But it has never given him the same feeling he got back then, and it seems like he's craved the feeling again. And that doing this with Dexter might help him get it. We know Dexter enjoys that feeling too, And we understand where that need comes from, but it's the code that's enabled him to pursue it without getting caught. Miguel is a loose cannon without Dexter's guidance, and it could bite them both really hard. This was a good scene and a highlight of the season so far for me.
You're listening to Dissecting Dexter.
Deb and Quinn have got Mario in the interview room. Mario's panicked at the threat of being deported as an illegal, explaining why he ran perhaps, but gets a jolt when they tell him George King had implicated him in the Skinner case. His demeanour completely changes. Quinn and Deb pick up on it and poke what looks to be a sensitive spot. Mario is terrified and begs to be deported, which prompts them to put out the word to pick up King. So it looks like King was trying to make Mario a patsy and take the fall. Maybe he put them onto Mario to give himself a chance to run. We'll see. In the office, Batista is all forlorn. Barbara hasn't called him back after he cancelled their date because of work. It's silly, really. She's a cop too and understands stuff can happen. He shouldn't beat himself up for it, although it's like he's put a lot of hope and pressure on this to work out. Deb's sympathetic, as you'd expect. However, all is not lost, and Barbara turns up with some food, and all is well in the world. Hooray! It's really sweet, and she was highly amused by his terrible voicemail, so, yeah, all good. Deb goes to the club to see if she can find Anton there. Still no word from him, and no one at the club's seen him. We jump to Billy Fleeter arriving home, and we immediately discover that Dexter was convinced by Miguel. Fleeter gets the needle and goes down. Cut to the kill room, and it's really good scene. Gone is the youthful exuberance from Miguel. He's in a more reverent mood. Thank you, he says. Dexter wakes up Fleeter, and they follow Dexter's ritual of showing him his victims. In voiceover, Dexter uses the metaphor of someone emerging from a cocoon, considering whether Miguel can go through with this. For Dexter, he recognises that this is the first time he's been a witness to this ritual, his own ritual. Miguel doesn't flinch or hesitate as he plunges the knife in. He lifts his head up with an expression that shows immense gratification, almost sexual, although I don't think he's getting those kinds of kicks out of this. Jimmy Smith's performance here, it seems to embody exactly what Miguel was describing earlier. The immense pleasure of being in absolute control and having absolute power. The way he responds when Dexter asks how he feels. Fantastic. It's perfect. And the look on Dexter's face. Great performance also by Michael. The initial surprise at how unflinching Miguel was. The fascination at his reaction and finding out how he feels. Does he feel the same way he does? It's all there on his face and in the tone of his voice. Brilliant stuff. This season has built to this point, and we are only at episode 8. This moment was well earned. Miguel wants to help clean up and dispose of the body, but Dexter says this is a part he's not ready to share and says he'll take care of it. Paul's delivery. It's the monotone killer Dexter voice that we get in these scenes. Another perfect touch for this memorable moment in Dexter. Miguel goes to take Fleeter's signet ring, but Dexter stops him. Rightly so. How many killers over the course of history have been undone by the discovery of their trophies? Miguel, I noticed, has a tear in his eye. Quite clearly overcome with the emotion of the moment, and he agrees to leave. Now, this could have been a great ending to the episode, but there's more. Deb is at Anton's apartment, still unable to find him. The front door is unlocked, which is suspicious. Inside, she finds his amp still humming like he's just been there. She has a thought and runs outside to find one of the palm trees has been freshly trimmed. The unmanageable, unimaginable, unmanageable, the unimaginable might have happened. Has he been taken by the Skinner? We rejoin Dexter, taking out the last of the bags containing bits of Fleeter. Harry appears. Dexter says Harry was wrong and Miguel did good. But Harry warns him that everything Miguel does from now on is tied to him. It's a heavy burden and one that was too much for him to bear. Then Dexter goes to Rita's. She's in a serious mood, still stressed out. Dexter sits next to her and shows her the engagement ring. Her face lights up. She loves it. Well done, Dexter.
Dexter, God, you've been such a saint through all of this. I don't know how you've put up with me.
If you need me to help out with more of the wedding
no.
stuff...
It's the hormones. I go crazy when I'm pregnant.
Tell me about it.
That's not true.
You should just, you know, get out while you can. Just run for your life.
I won't. Promise.
It's like I have this monster living inside of me and I don't know how to control it.
Maybe I can help you out with that one.
So I gave the show a little stick earlier about the portrayal of Rita this season, and they pull it back somewhat here with a very selfless response from her. She apologises for her moodiness and stress. She does this, I think, because she loves Dexter, but the way I see it, I don't think she's done anything wrong, really. He does still need to do more to help her. He's often been shown to be selfish at times in the past. Sharing his life with someone is not something he's experienced at, so we can forgive him for a few shortcomings. But Rita's feelings are valid. I'm a father of two. I've experienced pregnancies twice as a husband. I've seen how pregnancy can be a blessing and a really wonderful, pleasurable thing, but it can also be quite challenging on an expectant mother at times. I don't want to take anything away from Rita here. Knowing Dexter as we do, it's perhaps not surprising that he doesn't validate her feelings. Empathy has never been his strong suit, although he does offer to do more and promises not to leave her, which is definitely a plus. It's a good moment of positivity between them. The show closes out with Dexter reminding us of the butterfly effect and fresh from Harry's warning a moment ago. We see Miguel still with the clothes he wore to kill Fleeter. So obviously a little bit later the same evening. He's looking menacing and he knocks on Ellen Wolfe's door. And she answers, "This really doesn't look good," as he seems to slowly push his way inside. And that's it. We seem to know who the Skinner is now, and the suggestion is that Anton is to be the next victim. This episode grew into the best one of the season so far for me. Two fantastic moments between Dexter and Miguel, with great work from both Hall and Smits. This is what the season's all about. Dexter going against his better judgment, motivated by his need to be his real, unmasked self with someone, and letting someone else take the kill is fresh ground for him. A big turning point in the season, with Miguel perhaps unleashed now, and potentially a very dangerous loose cannon. The theme of the butterfly effect very obvious, and Dexter having to reckon with how his actions have consequences on others, perhaps those who don't deserve it. It's all wonderfully poised. What did you guys think?
Listener feedback.
As always, you can send your thoughts to dissectingdexter@gmail.com or reach out on the Facebook page, facebook.com/dissectingdexter, or X, the platform formerly known as Twitter, @dissectdexter. You can support me by maybe leaving a nice iTunes review. Patrons can also message me direct through the Patreon page, www.patreon.com/dissectingdexter, where if you are not already a patron, you could sign up and become one. Thanks to all my patrons who've stuck with me through more than one hiatus. Your support, as I always say, is hugely appreciated, and it really does genuinely help keep the podcast going. If you are a Patreon, you have access to the new Dissecting Dexter Shortcuts, short-form podcasts exclusive to patrons. I plan to do more, and I will, I promise. I'm open to ideas and suggestions for topics. Drop me a line in the usual ways. One of my lovely patrons sent me some comments on this episode. Jennifer Pennington, thanks ever so much for your patronage. She contacted me through the Facebook page. She says that this was a solid episode and some very funny bits. Her favourite was when Dex and Miguel are staking out Fleeter and Miguel shows up dressed like the Unabomber. I enjoyed that bit too. She also wonders how much Miguel knew or suspected about Dexter and his past. I think we got a hint of his mind wandering when he asked how long Dexter had been doing this. He got an inkling there, I think, that Dexter could be a long-term serial killer, and maybe he'll start doing some private research. Thanks, Jennifer. Also dropping us a line about this episode is our old buddy Nick Henderson, who has this to say.
Hey Gareth, Nick here. Glad to see you pressing on with the Dexter Rewatch podcast. I'm slowly making my way through it again myself, but the motivation is a tad lacking right now considering the strikes have put the brakes on any big Dexter developments. But that's neither here nor there. Let's talk about Season 3, Episode 8. Not only a pivotal episode for the Miguel arc, but also one of my favorite episodes of the season. But before I go any further, I do want to state for the record that I think Season 3 is criminally underrated. I love this season. It had big shoes to fill following the incredible second season, and I think a lot of people took issue with the stakes feeling so much smaller by comparison. But in my opinion, it was intimate and personal, playing with the notion that even a serial killer might feel that very human desire that we all feel for friendship and camaraderie. Which brings me to Episode 8, The Damage a Man Can Do. I love this episode because it's the turning point for the whole season. Dexter letting Miguel in on his process was equal parts uncomfortable and hilarious. As the audience, it was impossible not to see the risk, but as people, it was hard to fault him for it, even if it did mean throwing all the precautions that make him a neat monster right out the window. To make it even more interesting, Dexter finds himself rebelling against the memory of his father, probably due to the lingering hostility caused by the revelation that he killed himself. In a lot of ways, it's a perfect storm that makes the Miguel experiments, if you want to call it that, possible in the first place. And I think the writers deserve some serious props for finding a way to make a chapter like this feel authentic and true to the character. It couldn't have been easy. Of course, the highlight of this episode is the killing of Billy Fleeter. It's one of those rare moments in which Dexter finds himself bearing witness to someone else doing the deed. It's one of the only moments in the entire show in which he essentially has an out-of-body experience. He talks about Miguel coming out of his cocoon, but in that moment, when Miguel plunges the knife into Billy, it's pretty clear, also thanks to some pretty devilish lighting, I might add, that a serial killer was born. One that has no qualms about venturing outside the code. Something that obviously comes to fruition very quickly. Again, I can't stress this enough, Season 3 doesn't get enough credit. It's one of those seasons I appreciate more and more each time I watch it. To the naysayers, I say this. Dexter, as a whole, is a show about a serial killer striving to find his own humanity. It's the heart of the show, of the character, it's what makes him work as well as he does. And his attempted friendship with Miguel is an important stepping stone for him as a character. You can tell he carries these lessons and experiences with him all the way up until the very end of New Blood. But anyways, I've talked long enough. I'll hand it back over to you, Gareth. I'm closing in on the end of Season 6 myself, but I'll try to get in the habit of writing in for the rewatches when I can. Keep up the great work, as always, and I hope that someday in the not-too-distant future we'll have some new Dexter to dissect. Cheers.
Thanks, Nick. I hope so, too. Dissecting this stuff with the community is the best part about this for me. Now, the whole season's theme of whether Dexter can have a friend is indeed a fascinating and very human one. I too like the intimate nature of it. It does feed into a need that we all share. And we know that sometimes you have to put yourself out there and take a chance with someone. Dexter has been doing just that, against his internal voice that has been conditioned to presume he's destined to be alone. Although there are good reasons for this, not least the one about not getting caught. You mentioned criticism for Season 3, how some said it lacked the stakes of Season 1 or 2. And I disagree with that, same as you. The personal stakes for Dexter are still very high. If this backfires with Miguel, his world could come crashing down around his ears in a heartbeat, and he finds himself facing the death penalty. But not before he loses his fiancée and surrogate family, who I believe he does genuinely care about. I'm sure you'll agree. I've questioned the strength of the B storyline, but the A story has definitely got me invested. Thanks again, Nick. And that's it for another episode. As always, my thanks go out to all of you for your continued support, and especially to all my amazing patrons. I hope to be back pretty soon with another shortcut, so patrons, please keep an eye out for that. I'll also be back in the new year to continue and finish the Season 3 rewatch. This episode has really got me revved up to push on and get to what happens next with Miguel. In the meantime, I sincerely wish each and every one of you a fantastic and happy Christmas. For those who don't celebrate Christmas, I wish you a lovely holiday season. And to everyone, I wish you a happy, healthy, peaceful and prosperous 2024. Be sure to join me next time when we'll dissect some more Dexter together. Thanks for listening. Bye for now.